Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Things aren't easy. We know that. A little slice of normalcy each and every day, 2 to 6 with
us.
We
like to reach out to some of our friends and see how they're doing.
Yeah, we're going to talk to some of our favorite guys and see how they're doing, do well-being checks on them. It is official, Waddle, that Nick Foles, we were talking about this earlier, Nick Foles is officially a Bear. He and the Bears just tweeted out a picture of him at home signing his Bears contract. So maybe they'll have a press conference here where, you know, they could ask him about being a Bear, and then we could find out from Nagy and maybe Pace on what the plan is going forward.
Yeah, at some point they will meet the media. I mean, it's really hard to get a grasp on what the schedule will be. We learned today that, you know, that the actual schedule for the 2020 season will come out in May, like May 9th, I think, and that at the moment they are planning to have the season unfold as a full season as it was initially planned to have happened prior to the pandemic. So there's no reason for them to come out and change any dates at this point. They can sit and wait and see. But as of right now, the season should go on as currently scheduled.
Fingers crossed. So let's talk to one of our great friends. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Bears legend. And he's our friend. He's Brian Urlacher, good old number 54, joining Waddle and Selby. Brian, how are you and the family doing?
We're holding up pretty good, man. You know, we're down in Arizona, and it's a little bit, I guess from what I understand, we have different rules down here than what are being enforced in the Midwest. We can still go outside. You know, we can still play golf, still ride my bike every day when I'm not tired. So we just, ours are, up till yesterday, it was parties of 10 people or less could be around each other. Now I think it's 3 or less. The governor put in the stay rule. So I guess you're supposed to stay inside unless you're doing outside exercise or riding your bike, hiking. But we're still allowed to go outside, which is nice.
Are restaurants open there, Brian?
So to-go food is. Yeah, you can still get food to go.
Okay.
So are the kids...
Nothing, no sit-downs anywhere, nothing like that. But everything is to go. Chick-fil-A to go, Sonic to go, Chipotle to go. All the nice restaurants, they're all to go.
Are the kids at home or are the schools still open?
No, we're at home. Yeah, no. So we were lucky in the aspect of it happened during spring break. So we were already on break, like I think a week into our break. So it happened right in the middle of it. And our oldest, Pamela, was on spring break as well. And they canceled hers. She's a freshman at Kansas College. So it's not. They're just doing all hers online right now. So she's pissed that she can't go back to school, but at least she's knocked out her freshman year and she'll get all of her stuff done online.
I was just talking to Waddle about the e-learning stuff. Are you helping with the e-learning?
I haven't been able to help them with their homework in about 3 years. And my son's in eighth grade and he's my youngest. So yeah, they're so advanced now with what they do and they have such good comprehension of what they're doing that I'm not smart when it comes to like the just getting and explaining stuff to them. They figured out, and luckily we have Pamela, my oldest, who they can FaceTime and ask questions for homework, so I'm not a good resource for that.
We were talking as well, like, you know, the way that kids do math these days is like totally different
math
than the way we used to do it.
It's not math. Well, right. It's not
what
math.
Is it?
It's not math anymore. I don't know. When are you going to use it is what I want to know, unless you're going to be like a scientist or a numbers guy. When are you going to use any of that stuff? You know, I don't get it, but, you know, they got to learn it.
Yeah,
I stay away from it.
Everyone says it's not math. I can't even comprehend what it could be then, because like everyone just says they don't know what it is and it's not math. We're just used to adding and then carrying the one or carrying whatever and then adding everything up.
I used to crush math when I was in school. That was like my favorite thing, like addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. I was good at that stuff. It's this new stuff, the trig and the calculus. I don't know when the hell you're ever going to use that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how's the bike? I know you ride your bike, you said, all the time. How's that going?
My last week I did the most miles I've done in a week since I started. I did 160 miles last week, which is a bunch for me for a week. You know, most of them are in the mountains. But, yeah, it's good. That's still going good. I'm still doing that more so than normal because there's just not much else to do. I think I went for two rides in one day a couple times just trying to find things to do, man.
Yeah. Now, when you go on a bike ride.
I catch up with my son.
Is it a leisurely bike ride? Or are you, like, you know, pushing yourself? How are
Yeah. So more so now it's leisurely. Leisurely, I'm still burning 1,500 calories.
Wow.
But, you know, normally I'll go out there and I'll push pretty hard. You know, I'll go 25 miles and I'll dig pretty good. But now I'm just trying to, you know, I'm more interested in getting miles in and just kind of wasting time, honestly. But I still got to, I still burn a ton of calories, which is what I want.
Your relationship with golf has been like a hard one to understand recently. Like, one minute you're not playing, the next minute now you're telling me you're playing again?
Well, I've been playing again. I always, even when I'm not playing, I'm playing, Sylvie, because I have to, I love the game. I'm not just going to completely quit. I just, I'll take some hiatuses every once in a while, but I'm playing a bunch right now. Shoot, we probably played, got 4 or 5 days the last week or so.
Wow. Have you
what else to do?
Have you ever had a hole in one?
I made one in September.
Wow.
On a par 4. Yeah, right here, Seville, across the street from my house here. I hit a par 4, 297. I hit my driver, and it bounced on short of the green, and it rolled up and disappeared in the hole.
Whoa. You had a hole in one on a par 4?
Yes, the par 4, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'd say, yeah, the par 3s are too easy, so I just went ahead and did it on the par 4. Yeah, I wish I was that good.
That's awesome. Are you binge-watching television? Like, our weather's no good, and we're also supposed to stay inside, so all we can do is watch television.
So I do watch in the evenings, but during the day I do okay. Like, right now I'm watching the White House news conference just to get some updates and stuff, but... most part, I'm outside doing stuff. I mean, we have a nice backyard, so I'm cruising around back there, and like, we're about to go to the park and play catch, me and my little guy. So we're trying to find stuff to do.
How did that happen? You getting to the White House and you getting in the Oval Office?
Man, lucky. We met some of the president's detail at a Bears game. The game where they honored. Remember they did our decade thing. I don't know what game it was. I know we lost because every game I go to, we lose. I think it might have been the San Diego game. I'm not sure. But it was the Chargers game. But I met two of the guys, Jeff and Nick, who are in his detail. And they're like, if you guys ever want to get a tour of the White House, we'd love to show you. I was like, oh, hell yeah. And there was we weren't expecting to meet the president. We just got lucky that he was flying in that day. And he was nice enough to show us in his office. But it just worked out perfect. It was amazing.
What was it about the White House that was most impressive and maybe was different than you thought it would be?
I'll tell you what was impressive is how big it does not look from the outside. Does that make sense? Like, you see it on TV, you're like, damn, that place is so big. But then you go, you're like, that's it? It looks so much bigger on TV. And so, I mean, the inside is, it's, you know, we had a great tour from Nick and Jeff, and they told us all the stories about each room and how pictures got in there and how furniture came from here and there. It was awesome. It was just neat to know the history and which president brought this and that. It was really cool, you know. And then obviously, to top it off, we got to go into President Trump's office with him. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, Brian Urlacher joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. All right, so I know you were a backer of Mitch, but I know I would have...
Was or am?
Tell me. Okay, are you Team Foles?
My opinion hasn't changed because I...
So you're Team Trubisky pandemic. Over Team Foles?
I don't think... you guys have already started dividing them. Is that what the media is doing now? Just dividing these guys already before they even got a chance to meet each other?
Well, we can't play the two quarterback system.
No. From what I can gather, Mitch is the guy. That's what, from everything Nagy and Pace said post-last season, Mitch is the guy, correct?
That's what they've been telling us, Brian.
Or are they lying to us?
Is that even, I haven't heard anything since the trade, so is that still the case?
Tell them what you think, Waddle. Tell them what you think.
This is what I said, Brian, when people, listen, we're just projecting. If you give up a fourth-round pick...
More fun to project anyway.
Yeah, I know.
You love when we did that.
A fourth-round pick and $21 million guaranteed, and they are very familiar with the player, Nick Foles, I think that that's a good sign that there's a good chance that Nick's your starting quarterback to open the season, especially with no real, you know, there's no contact that these guys can have with this staff at this point.
Yeah. You feel like a fourth-round pick is a pretty high pick?
Well, I think with this group that doesn't have many draft picks, they spend them like Tic Tacs in trades.
Yeah, they're easy to get out. That's for dang sure. I think that the issue for me was that he's making so much more money than Mitch is going to. I don't know what Mitch's contract is, but you pay a guy that much money, how do you make him your backup when, you know, and I think Mitch is the guy still. I still feel like he's, you know, maybe it's going to be an open job. I don't know what they're going to do. We'll all wait and see. But, I mean, to pay a guy that much money to come be your backup just doesn't make sense to me. It's a lot of bread to be sitting on the bench.
Right. That's kind of what I said. I said, follow the money. Usually in the NFL, follow the money. That's why I think that they, you know, the Knicks.
But Mitch was a number two pick in the draft. He's going to be making, he's got to be making probably 8 to 10 this year, I would say.
I think so,
He's getting towards the back end of his deal, so he's going to make good money as well. So maybe they're in level playing field when it comes to money wise the first season. I'm not sure, but yeah, I feel like they. I'm hoping they're going to bolster up, you know, some on the offensive side of the football a little bit this year. You know, get some players, hopefully a receiver or two to help out Mitch and Robinson. I know they signed a tight end, correct? They paid somebody,
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, so maybe that'll help a little bit, you know, in that aspect. With that position, we were struggling. So it'll be nice to get somebody in there and catch the football open.
We weren't big fans of that signing, the Jimmy Graham. Like, we would love Jimmy Graham back when you were playing. Yeah, but not Jimmy Graham now.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, he played with Aaron Rodgers. He didn't do his numbers weren't great. I'll say that.
Right.
He didn't play with Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, the Bears may use him differently. You know, he wasn't the main guy there. They had some pretty good weapons there. You know, Devontae, they had a good running back there. Maybe he'll be used differently here. And Coach Nagy can definitely find a way to give him the football. I believe that. You know, if the guy's got some talent, he'll give him the football. We got to protect our quarterback, though, number one. You know, we got to get guys healthy up front and run the football and protect our quarterback, keep him upright.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at as well. Like, I don't care if it's Mitch or it's Nick. Whoever's behind center, they've got to run the football significantly better than
they
did last year.
I agree. You know what? And this is not a knock on the player. I didn't love the signing of Robert Quinn. I liked him. He had a great season last year. Really good football player. I just don't. You know, you pay Khalil all this money. You know, he gets all this money. And you have Akeem Hicks, who's a badass in the middle, making all this money. I understand you get rid of Floyd. But, I mean, do you need to spend that much money on another guy up front? I just, you know, I'm just trying to divvy up the money here. I'm trying to balance out the offense with the defense a little bit.
It's interesting hearing a defensive player like you say that, because I would think that you'd like that, because Leonard Floyd on the other side of Mac, when he's not doing anything, you got to have a professional pass rusher on the other side, don't you? But you think it's just too much money for another guy there.
This is going to be back. I don't remember the kid's name last year who came and did such a good job. I'm not sure if he was a D tackle or a defensive end.
Robertson Harris? Is that who you're thinking?
Yes. That dude made – I don't know if he's still there. That dude made a ton of plays. I'm not sure if he's an outside backer or inside interior lineman, but he made plays. I would think – that you could find someone to put pressure from the side. And Khalil's getting two guys no matter who's over there anyway. So the ball's going to be gone. And that, well, with Akeem back, it's going to be different. And then once he's healthy, that's going to – we all saw how much he meant to defense last year when he wasn't in there. So once he's back, Robert Quinn's a great player. I'm taking nothing away from him. I have a lot of respect for him. He's a good football player. But I just didn't love the signing with what we have going up front on defense. And our secondary's good. You know, our linebackers are obviously good. So that surprised me.
What did you make of the NFL's decision to add an extra wild card team in both conferences?
I don't mind the playoffs. The way they did the playoffs, I think, is cool. I didn't like the extra game. I thought the players gave in too early. The NFL, they're not going to miss games. They're not going to let this thing last. It's just like 2011, you know, we held out to, I think, there was a lockout until like a week before training camp, and then they got the deal done. And I just feel like the players gave in a little early here. They had all the leverage, you know, because the owners don't make money if you don't play games.
Right.
The player, I agree, the players don't either, but the owners make a lot more money than the players do. So I was a little disappointed that they gave in early, but it's a good deal for me. Retired players get more benefits, so that's
right.
A good thing.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, 17 games, man. All you talk about is safety. We got to protect these players. But you know what? Let's add another game in there. Screw their safety. Let's play more games. You're contradicting everything you're saying you care about. Makes no sense to me.
Waddle always says that it's easy for him at the age of 53 to say, hey, this is what I would hold out for, or this I wouldn't give in until I got this. But the 24-year-old Waddle is different. Are you different at your age than you were
100%.
In the middle? Okay.
It is super easy for me to sit here on my fat butt and say, oh, yeah, that was a terrible deal. You know, I've got my contracts, two or three contracts under my belt. There's guys who are going to be free agents this year and guys who deserve to get paid. So totally understand. I just didn't think it was a great deal for the current players. Now, me, I'm happy with it because it works out good for me. But for the current player and what they're going to endure, you know, 17 games, I didn't think it was a great deal. You know, those games late in the season, Waddle, you can attest to this.
Yeah.
They're tough, man. You get to about week 13 or 14, you're hoping for another bye week. You're like, damn, can we get one more bye week in there? Because it's just like you reset your body a little bit, and you're still going to get banged up. But I just didn't love the other 17 games.
I didn't think they got enough in return for the 17th game.
They got 1.5%. That's huge. Yeah. And, you know, the owners, it doesn't make sense to me either.
The one thing, again, as Sylvie was saying, as a 53-year-old me, too, like, I've been an advocate now for better than a decade for, listen, if you reach 4 years, it was 4 years, they've dropped it to three. If you're, if you're one of those guys that is qualified for a pension, you should also qualify for lifetime health benefits. The league has the money.
100%.
You know, I mean, yep. Like, and a lot of guys don't need it because there are a lot of guys that are former players that are working.
They can afford it.
Yeah, or they've got health benefits
jobs,
through the company.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, you know, and the current players now, they're all going to be able to afford health insurance. You know, you look at 2000 and beyond. If you play 3 or 4 years, you're more likely going to be able to afford your health insurance. If you're that 25-30% that makes the good money, but it's different now. But I think I'm not sure. Did they do if you play 3 years, you get. Lifetime health insurance now?
No. The lifetime health insurance is not a benefit, but you do qualify for a pension now. If you
that's the Waddle plan. Waddle just preached that. Yeah.
Oh man, I said that'd be a great. I didn't know we got that, but no. You know, it's better for retired guys. So I'm happy with it. But I just think it stinks that they're going to play 17 games, and anyone who's played a full football season, not just I'm talking about played, not been on the team. I'm talking about playing in those games, not guys who are on the team but don't play. You play in those games, you're going to get roughed up. That's all there is to it.
What about Brady as a buck?
Yeah, it's different. I know that much. but we'll see. Different deal. The Rivers thing was awkward to me, too. I can't see these guys on different teams, so it's just different. That's all. I mean, Ray's got some weapons down there, but can they keep him upright? That's going to be the big question.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right, well, stay safe, stay healthy, keep riding that bike. And and we'll check in here in a couple months when things are better,
you
okay?
Guys be safe too, man. Take care.
You're the best, Brian. Thanks, Brian. There's Brian Urlacher. Always enjoy our conversations with him. 312-332-3776. What would Jim Brockmeyer say if he was the Bears announcer regarding Mitch Trubisky? You'll hear that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hank Azaria is on the line and joins Waddle and Sylvie. Hi, Hank.
How's it going?
How are you?
This is Jim Brockmeyer. I got a show on the IFC that maybe 7 people watch. And he's a sportscaster, and even though not many people watch the show, it is a tremendously awesome show. It's very highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes. And I thought I'd give you some sports takes, if you like, as Jim Brockmeyer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, are you a Mitch Trubisky fan? I mean, we're big Bears guys, and we're worried about our quarterback, Mr. Brockmeyer. So what do you think about Trubisky?
I'm not a Trubisky guy. Nobody outside. I got news for you guys. Nobody outside of Chicago is a Trubisky guy.
Nobody in Chicago is a Trubisky guy these days. Either.
No, I think only your general manager is a Trubisky guy.
A lot of fun with Hank Azaria, Jim Brockmeyer. Really good.
Yeah, it was good.
So we were talking about wide receivers. And I saw, and I think it was McShay who had the Bears taking another wide receiver. There are lots of good wide receivers. It's the deepest wide receiver core in a draft in a while.
That's what they say. They say it's a very deep group of wide receivers.
Here's all I'll say, is if he decides again to go in the second round and trade up for a wide receiver, and I hope not, because didn't he do that with Miller? He wanted Miller.
Yes.
So he borrowed the pick from New England. And, you know, that's the way people viewed it. Hey, we're just borrowing our pick 1 year earlier. And we're using it on Miller. If they do get this guy in the second round, when I draft these days a wide receiver in the second round, when you look at some of the great wide receivers in the NFL, this guy has got to be a difference maker.
I'm with you. Like, I mean, look, when you have other holes.
Right. No more, like, I know Ridley wasn't drafted that high, but Anthony Miller is a good example. Like, Michael Thomas was a second round pick. There are a few others that you could go down the list and say, second round pick. If you find Ryan Pace, if you decide to use one of the two, just you better make damn sure that we're not dabbling anymore, that this is a guy who can catch 80 footballs and go for 1,200 yards.
I think Juju was a second-round pick.
There you go. Juju Smith-Schuster.
I think Devontae Adams up north was a third-round pick.
Right. Like, a lot of the better wide receivers were not drafted in the first round. Go through the... I don't know if you could go through the list of some of the top receivers.
Yeah, so Michael Thomas last year, obviously, you said a second. Julio was a first. Chris Godwin, I think he was a second, wasn't he?
Out of Penn
third,
State?
Third round pick for third Godwin.
There you
pick
go.
Out of Penn State. Stephon Diggs was what, a fourth?
Yeah, Diggs was later. I think fourth is correct.
So that's what I mean, like, today.
I mean, Kenny who's the kid
Galladay.
From NIU?
Yeah, he was
Galladay from NIU.
He was a third rounder. Third rounder.
That's what I mean. It's not quite like the running back. But if you draft a wide receiver early these days, they better be more than a role guy.
I mean, look, DeAndre Hopkins was the 27th, so he's, you know, almost a second rounder. I mean, yeah, you can. Yeah, you're right. In this NFL, you should be an absolute stud if you're drafted second round or higher. That's the hope.
So when you need offensive line, Waddle, and you have all these voids that you still have on this Bears team, if I'm Ryan Pace, fine. You want to use one of the two because you love a wide receiver, even though it's as deep as any draft in the wide receiver market, and good wide receivers are taking the third and fourth rounds. And you still got to get your guy. You better make damn sure that this guy is a difference maker.
No, I'm with you 100%.
And no more like, oh, looking past this stuff. Well, his shoulder popped out. Right? You get a good one.
Well, not to mention, they have Robinson and they have Miller. And so if you draft a guy in the second round, you're going
to... Isn't Allen Robinson a second round pick?
Allen was a first round pick, wasn't he?
I don't think so.
No, I think Sylvie's right. Pulling it up here as we speak. Allen Robinson, second round pick, 61st, almost third.
This is my point. If you draft a second round wide receiver, he better be another Allen Robinson to pair with Allen Robinson. Don't give me another damn roll guy. You got enough of those.
But you have Anthony Miller, too. So if you draft another wide receiver, like, he's going to be taking some snaps away from, theoretically, Anthony Miller.
Can you count on Anthony Miller for two shoulder injuries?
But again, that's then another indictment on Ryan Pace again.
Well, I was going to say, you better be able to count on him because you traded up to get him, and this will be his third season. I mean, you hope that you see signs that you think he could be a difference maker. And his two seasons in the league, he's had 33 catches and 52 catches. He's never had more than 656 yards in either of the two seasons. Now, he had the 7 touchdowns in season one, but... Look, in 2 years, he's got 85 catches for 1,079 yards and 9 touchdowns. And the 9 touchdowns, obviously, was enhanced by 2018. You need more from him based on where you selected him. And maybe he will deliver that. I mean, again, he's shown some signs of being a really good football player. And maybe he, at times, has been held back by, you know, other guys in that offensive huddle. So, but I agree with you 1,000%.
That's all I keep thinking when I see these guys list the Bears grabbing a wide receiver in the second round.
Especially when you're struggling to run a football. I mean, as I've said 1,000 times, so make this 1,001. I don't care if it's Mitch or it's Nick Foles. Whoever's under center is going to need a running game because neither one of these guys is one of those elite total difference-making quarterbacks. Those guys need more help than guys like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and some of the others. I mean, you need to surround both of those guys with a reliable running game.
Say what you want about Phil Emery, but Phil Emery drafted Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey would catch lots of footballs with the Bears as a second-round pick. Wasn't he in another second-round pick?
I believe so.
So when you draft a wide receiver in the second round, they are expected to be studs. These are difference-making guys who can go to Pro Bowls, who can catch 70 or 80 balls a year. Don't get me another Taylor Gabriel. Don't get me another guy who can catch 40 footballs, and you're like, well, what do you expect, Sylvie? Here's what I expect. If you're Ryan Pace and you elect in the deepest wide receiver draft to project a guy early in the second round, he better be a stud.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got no argument with you. I want to see them fortify their offensive line. I mean, Bobby Massey and Charles Leno Jr. are only getting older. They're not getting younger, everybody.
And they're not great to begin with.
Well, I mean, I think collectively they all had a better 2018 than they did 2019. I've said to you a bunch, I don't think there's any chance that this offense is as bad this year as they were last year, even with minimal improvement. I just don't think it's one of those things we talk about regression or, you know, progression to the mean. I think that everything came together in a bad way last year on offense. Now, again, I'm not projecting them to be top 10. They need to get some more qualified guys in that offensive huddle. They're going to be better on offense this year just because they can't be as bad as they were last year.
If you want to weigh into the conversation, 312-332-3776. Nick Foles is now in the fold with the Bears. He has signed his deal. I want to ask Waddle, what will Ryan Pace and or Matt Nagy say when they speak publicly for the first time about where the... I don't want to know what you think. I want to know what they're going to tell us. And we've known what they've told us so far may not be true with a lot of guys. So I want that from you coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Football conversation. We'll get to The Last Dance, which was announced this morning, I think, officially. The story broke late last night. It was great to hear that we're going to get the Bulls dynasty in its final year in the documentary in five different parts.
I need a refresher course, so I'm glad it's going to come out
sooner. April 19th. I think you're going to be surprised by a lot of things.
Yeah, I hope so. But I also want to be reminded of just the greatness that was that group, because... Look, Father Time has a way of kind of stealing from your memory, and I want to go back into the Wayback Machine and kind of sit down on the couch and just reminisce about how great that team was.
Yeah, I got it. We never did the comparing two of the two three-peats, because I'll read you, because I think you'll forget, like, sort of who they had on the first three, the core pieces besides the starting five, and see what you think. But all right, so Nick Foles, there's good pictures of Nick Foles and his family online. They've got the Bears, Staley the Bear. He's wearing the orange Bears hat, and he signed the deal today. So we assume, I mean, Bruce Arians just spoke, right? Wasn't it? First it was Brady who had the teleconference, then it was Bruce Arians. And Bruce Arians was very upfront about a lot of things. He said, no, we have no interest in AB. We're deep there. He right. doesn't provide us anything. There are some things that they're willing to tell the truth on. So when Matt Nagy does meet the media, Ryan Pace, wherever it may be these days and whenever it may be, what will they say? Because you know those are the questions coming. Who's number one on the depth chart? Who's your opening day starter? How's it going to start on training camp day one? What are they going to say?
I think their message is going to be one of a competition. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Matt Nagy will reference the familiarity and why they traded for Nick. And because there will be some people that say, why'd you give up draft compensation, a fourth round pick, and guarantee $21 million? That's a high price to pay for a backup quarterback. I think Matt will talk about the comfort level that he and all the other offensive coaches that they added this offseason, how comfortable they are with Nick Foles. And then he'll talk about an open competition. And you know what? We're going to do what's best for this team. This defense is ready to win now. Offensively, we need to pick it up and carry our weight better than we have in the last couple of years. And, you know, we're going to open it up and the best guy will play.
But remember,
that's how I think they will present it.
The last time they spoke, didn't they say Mitch is our starter?
They did, but that was prior to draft or to trading for Nick Foles.
So will they say Mitch is our starter with a heavy emphasis on for anybody to win? Mitch starts the training camp as the starter. Will they say, no, we're going in even and it's a complete competition? Because the last time they did speak to us, they said Mitch is the starter.
Well, first of all, what they say and what they do are two entirely different concepts. But they may, I don't know. I think that they're going to reference more that look, we're you know, this will be a competition. They may come out and say Mitch is still our starter and Nick's going to be there to pick up the pieces if things don't go well. But I stand by my thought that you don't pay that price and bring him in, and you don't side with the comfortable. Look, if they had traded for Andy Dalton, it'd be a little bit different. I mean, all of these guys that they added in that offensive coaching room have all worked with Nick Foles. Every one of them. And last year, the Bears offense ranked 29th in yards per game and 29th in points per game. Like, that defense, you could say what you want. And I was part of the group that said, hey, look, they're not going to be as explosive as they were in 2018. And they weren't. They didn't have the same number of takeaways. They didn't have all the defensive touchdowns. But you know what? They allowed about a three-quarters of a point more last year than they did in 2018, or about a point more. They were a top-five scoring defense, even without all of the other, you know, flashy plays. So they owe it to everyone in that defensive meeting room to play the best quarterback. So I think that, like I said, too, I think it gives them a little bit of cover. They can tell everybody, including Mitch, that this is going to be an open competition. You can't tell me that if we injected Matt with the famous Waddle and Sylvie
true serum,
and you asked him, who do you think has the edge in a pure open competition? You can't tell me his answer wouldn't be Nick Foles. He's coached Nick Foles. He's seen Nick Foles. He's coached Mitch and seen Mitch. He knows how an NFL training camp goes.
He watched Nick Foles lead the Eagles downfield against his own Bears.
Correct.
In the playoff game to score.
Correct.
So, I mean, against that defense, too. I would say that probably, even if they do say Mitch is a starter, that, like, I think you've pointed this out numerous times, that Nagy deep down, like you said with the truth serum, even with Mitch starting training camp as the starter, believes that Foles is good enough to beat him out. He's going to show over 6 weeks that he's the better guy.
Look, if not, you could have signed what's-his-face, Case Keenum, you know, and not given up any draft currency and not spent $21 million guaranteed. You could bring in somebody else if you felt that you felt differently. I think we all ended the 2019 season, didn't we? Most of us. I mean, there's four of us on this, you know, on this show. Does anyone not believe that the coach, let me rephrase it. Does anyone believe the coach has 100% confidence in the quarterback?
Go ahead, guys. You guys know this.
Come on.
No, come on.
Yeah. 100%? No.
Okay. So 80%?
I don't know. I think that's the thing is, I think there's a world. Look, I think it's highly likely that Mitch Trubisky will be that Nick Foles will be the starting quarterback very soon. But I do think there's maybe a 25 to 50% chance that it could be Mitch on opening day of the NFL season.
Maybe Pace says to him, hey, I still think my guy's going to beat your guy out. And maybe they're behind closed doors. They're secretly joking that Pace believes still that Mitch will rise to the occasion and this will bring out the best in him. And then Nagy deep down believes that, you know what he is what he is, and I need a guy that I know I could go to immediately, not in game four, but immediately if we break camp.
Well, that's,
and I think, who knows, maybe behind closed doors they're even talking about it and they've got a bet on this.
Well, I mean, look, this is why I've said in the past, I think that quietly that, you know, that can be Matt Nagy's defense mechanism. This is going to be a competition. I feel strongly that if this is truly a competition in training camp and you're going against your own defense and you're running this offense that Mitch has had surgery. He's coming back from the surgery. It was his non-throwing shoulder. I get it, but it's still surgery. And he's had really, other than teleconferencing, and I know there's some people out there that think that that's going to be just as good as hands-on. I'm here to say I don't agree with that. Not being in the building with this new group of coaches, I think that that's a mark against Mitch. I think that's unfortunate for Mitch in a competition. So when the competition comes and you're running the offense and one guy knows where the ball is supposed to go in this offense and is familiar with the calls and everything else, and the other guy really isn't, and the other guy's best attribute is being an athlete and doing things on the run where, you know, that you can't really simulate a ton of that in training camp practices, I just think that that pure open quote-unquote competition skews to the guy they just gave up a fourth-round pick and $21 million for. Follow the money.
Right. Mike and Lindenhurst, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, it's really Coach Nagy here. Let me just tell you guys
Coach.
I like our guys. I love our quarterbacks. They're just going to be great for our offense because there's nothing better than great competition to make the quarterbacks come to their best. But let me tell you guys one thing. Mitch will be the quarterback because Nick Foles is going to be destroyed from this horrible, putrid offensive line.
So, wait, you were saying that as Matt Nagy, though, that he's
no,
admitting?
No, I'm saying is it Mike from Lindenhurst.
Matt Nagy started ripping his own line.
No, he's not going to rip his own team because he likes his guys. But for me, there's no way Foles is going to survive as a pocket quarterback behind this line that sucks.
Well, maybe he knows when, like Waddle said, maybe he knows when to throw it now. And not when the pressure comes to get rid of the football so he doesn't get hit.
Listen, this is what you have. If you're the offensive coordinator, who is also the head coach, who has tasted victory. He was the NFL head coach in his rookie season, coach of the year. Last year they were 8-8. It was a massive disappointment because it was Super Bowl or bust. Now you're not the defensive court. You're not a defensive minded guy. You're an offensive minded guy. This is your system, and you watch Andy Reid run his system and flip in all these other guys. This is your system. And you can't run it because you don't trust the guy. All of these guys are going to sit in a room together, and they're going to make a decision on who is best suited to run this offense that one guy that they just brought in is most familiar with.
It's going to be interesting to see what they say and how they go about it. 312-332-3776. Again, the best announcement that we received with no real live sports is that we will get a new look at the Dynasty Bowls. Even though this is a story that's been told and we're watching old games over and over again, this is supposed to be something we've never seen before. And even a coach currently admits that, who was on that team. You'll hear that next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Steve, I know you probably haven't seen it. I'm sure you participated in it, but Bill Wennington was on earlier. He said the cameras were following you guys around all that year. What do you believe The Last Dance will show us that maybe we didn't know?
You know what? It was so long ago that I don't even know. I don't remember. This is why I'm so excited to watch it, because it was 22 years ago now, because that was the 98 season. It was kind of before anybody did this kind of thing, before, like, you know, the Hard Knocks style television came about with behind the scenes stuff. And so the first few weeks that the cameras were there every day were really weird. And then after a while, you just didn't even notice them. And so it's been so long that I don't know what they're going to show and what it's about. I'll probably be surprised by some of it, just because, you know, you forget a lot of things that happened 22 years ago.
Steve, is there any?
Steve Kerr with us.
You didn't like my question, huh?
Last week. We were accentuating how bad of a question it was. He pulled you off by the cane. And Steve Kerr is on the advertisement. So the way they advertised it, it says The Last Dance. And the poster includes from left to right Kerr, Pippen, MJ, Rodman, and Phil. And someone asked me the question, hey, is Kerr on there because are those all the Hall of Famers on the Bulls? Knowing that Kerr's going to eventually be put in the Hall of Fame. Pippen, Jordan, Rodman, and Phil are all in the Hall of Fame. And I think
Steve's included in it because Steve is a very prominent NBA figure right now.
Yes, because people know with the modern era, for the people who may not be old enough to have watched those Bulls teams live, you know, Steve Kerr is a well-known NBA figure currently.
I was so blessed to have been able to do certain things back in the day when we did that Bulls Sox Underground show for Fox Sports Chicago. Like, I used to do a book report every month or a book review with Phil Jackson. Like, he would sit there and he would do a book review on camera in like a 3 or 4 minute segment.
And you're sure, this is what everyone does when they get into the media. They talk to the, you know, the all-time greatest basketball coach or one of them.
Sure.
And when we talk about books.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Believe me. And people always say when we're watching these Bulls games, like last night on NBC Sports, they were showing the series clincher where they beat the Knicks to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. And, like, you used to be so proud of this team. Yeah, I mean, it was, you loved it, everything, and it's such a 180 currently.
You know this better than anybody. That team was a group of rock stars.
It's completely.
Beyond rock stars.
Beyond rock stars, and that's why, like, it's the first three, you never forget the first. You know what I mean? And that team had to climb.
We're talking about championships, right?
Everything. Yeah. Everything. Okay. Take it for what it is.
Okay.
You never forget your first, right? What was the first time you ever had a drink?
I don't remember. It's been so long ago, and I've had so many since.
Dad give you a beer? Like, I remember being out in the yard.
No, my dad didn't drink.
Oh, that's right.
Do you believe that?
I always forget that. Are you drinking right now, by the way?
I am not. This is the first day on the air, and I think the last three or four shows that I have not had a glass of Cabernet halfway through the 5 o'clock hour.
So the 91 team that won the championship, it was I'm reading it, I believe, in alphabetical order, the way they present a basketball reference. B.J. Armstrong, Bill Cartwright, Horace Grant, Craig Hodges, Dennis Hopson, Michael Jordan, Stacey King, Cliff Levingston, John Paxson, Will Perdue, Scottie Pippen, Scott Williams. It was Pax and MJ in the backcourt. It was Horace and Pippen in the front court. And it was Cartwright in the middle. Levingston would come off the bench with some energy. Perdue and Williams were the backup centers. And BJ was a good backup for Pax, and he would play a lot of starter minutes.
That's a hell of a team, but that pales, doesn't it, in comparison to the next group that won the next three, doesn't it?
And then, like, that's what I was going to bring up. The thing that sticks out to me about the last three is how much different of a modern basketball team it is.
Right.
Like, Ron Harper could play, he could run your point. He could handle the ball because they had no true point guard on that team. Scotty would handle it. Michael would handle it. Harper would handle it. Ron Harper could play 1, 2, or 3. You know, Michael was Michael. Scotty,
what would be a modern-day Ron Harper? Who would be a modern-day?
I was thinking, what's his face from Iguodala? I'm thinking, isn't Ron Harper Andre Iguodala almost?
Well, he was a great defensive player.
You know, Iguodala back in the day when he was first drafted in Philly was a better scorer.
Yeah.
And then a guy who eventually settled into a role on a championship team.
Taller, too, isn't he? Isn't Iguodala significantly taller than Harp?
Harp was 6'5", 6'6". What's Iggy? What's Iggy's height?
But 6'7", I think.
Okay. You know, like Ron Harper, when he came in the league, people forget averaged 20 points per game with the Clippers and Cavs and could jump. And then he had knee injuries. But what he did was settle into the role, and he could play defense, and he was long, and he would hit the open jumper, and he just was athletic and fit the role where, think about the athletes. It was Harper, Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, who could guard anybody on the court. And then they would start Longley, but then they'd bring Kukoc in off the bench. And Kukoc could play the 3, the 4, or the 5. And then you were bringing guys in. You could go with Winnington as your big man. You could go then Steve Kerr and go play really, really small ball with Kerr and Michael and Harper and Pippen and Rodman. You know,
that's what I'm saying is, like, that version of the Bulls was, I think, you know, a more impressive version.
You know, Craig Hodges, too. Craig Hodges was as good of a three-point shooter as anybody when Craig Hodges was playing on that 91 team. So he played a huge role too. But to me, that was more old school. That was an old school team. The centers were centers, and this team was more athletic. The last three, I say this team, the team that they're going to feature in the documentary, my opinion, was more rock star-ish. And it was, you know, and Chris Black brought this up. Michael was probably a better player in 91, 92, 93. He was more in the prime. But I'd say Scottie Pippen was more of a superstar in 96, 97, 98.
And I would say, too, I would take issue with that because Jordan was athletically a better player. But mentally, when he had that fadeaway jumper in the second three-peat, that was damn near unstoppable.
Right.
Wanted to get it, you couldn't block it.
You know, Harper's, he had 5 NBA titles too, because he won 2 with the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
When he left Chicago. Wow. That's those were fun times.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, and that's what's so much fun about those three championships, the each pair, is they were so different. They were separated by the Jordan return. And then you had this chapter two, and again, you saw, you thought what you saw earlier was great, and it was fantastic, and it was beautiful. But then what you got was a record-setting year followed by two more.
That's how I feel about Ozark season three.
You,
I do.
You started again.
Adam Abdallah told me, I was like, hey, four episodes in, it's kind of dragging. I was expecting a little bit more. He said, just be patient. Just be patient.
And so it lived up to it.
No doubt.
I look forward to watching it with my wife then.
No doubt.
The contest for the biggest name drop has
Bob Tewksbury.
No, he was not part of the contest. Oh. That was let Sylvie
got him to call in.
Contest. Yeah. I lose today, but we've taken a step
But we
up.
All win because Sylvie brought it to the table.
We did have a step forward in the celebrity contest. You have three more days. So Hank Azaria, Patrick Renna, who is Ham Porter from The Sandlot, Mike Singletary, and former Viking punter Chris Cluey all called in based on the contest.
And I would like to say thank you for you not embarrassing me with my former great teammate Mike Singletary when we were on this time the way you did last time. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't want to go anywhere near.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's pretty cool, though, and I don't think we've said this, to have two of the greatest linebackers in Bears history on the same show.
Yeah,
middle linebackers, number 50 and number 54. We had Brian Urlacher on the show as well, and there was Bob Tewksbury. But is Paul Konerko up next with Carmen and Yurko in the postgame? Great interview looking back on the 05 White Sox. Jonathan Hood live and local at 7 o'clock. Thanks to Meller and Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. CSPN 1000. Have yourself a healthy and safe Tuesday night.
Instant classic.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.